Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, January 8th, 2024. This morning I will talk about the Gospels. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Blessed Lord Jesus, all praise and honor, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours, because you come to us in the person of Jesus, bone of our bones, flesh of our flesh, a three-dimensional image of God as a living human being. Forgive our indifference, our self-absorption, our narcissism in the face of miracle after miracle and blessing after blessing. Turn our attention to you alone. Thank you for the person of Jesus, who lived a holy sacrificial life, that we might be forgiven and saved from our own obsessions. In the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to look up to the Father's creation and adore you for what you have done for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Matthew 15, verse 24, we read, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The name Jesus has always been a mystery to me, especially in view of the early church confession in Philippians 2, 9, and 10. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Why the mystery? The name Jesus is a Greek translation of Yeshua, which arises because the Greek has no SH sound. Yeshua's call is informative. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go to this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. This is Joshua 1:2. While Joshua led the people of Israel out of the desert into the promised land, Jesus leads his people out of bondage to sin into heaven. This is the gist of what the angel tells Joseph before Jesus was born. In Matthew 1, verse 21, She, Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In a general sense, this is what atonement implies, salvation from sin, our sin, so we can approach God as sons and daughters. Jerome Neary notes in his work on the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel follows, in great measure, conventional formulas for praise articulated in the epitassic rhetoric, a kind of oral obituary of praise. The form of an encomium in the Greek-Roman context appears in a handbook known as the Progymnastamata, which is like a schoolbook for students of rhetoric. The encomium must include all aspects of a hero's life, birth, education, and training, public and death, and is particularly important in an honor-shame culture. I have said for years that you don't really know a person until you've attended their funeral because of the variety of testimonials that are given. The Gospels are not a typical encomium because Jesus rose from the dead. Nevertheless, the Gospels introduce us to the humanity of Jesus by telling his life story, teaching death and resurrection. Jesus' divinity breaks through his healing, signs, wonders, and exorcism. These are all miraculous and point beyond his life to God and Jesus' divinity. The implication is that the humanity and the divinity of Jesus are commingled throughout his life. An audience today would want to know more about Jesus than the Bible records for our benefit. We know nothing about his personal appearance, education, acquaintances, preferences, or language abilities. We are told he grew up in Nazareth, was conceived out of wedlock, was an ethnic Jew, his family was poor, and he worked as a carpenter or builder. Each of these details pose interesting questions. For example, Nazareth in Galilee lay within walking distance of Sepphoris, a city with a Greek theater burned to the ground in 4 BC following a Jewish revolt against the Herodians. Was Jesus a poor country bumpkin, or was he something more? Jesus' social position rides on answers to such questions, yet the Gospels do not provide us with clear answers. Throughout the history of the church, the Gospel of Matthew was thought to have been the first to have been written. Scholars in the 19th century began to argue that the Gospel of Matthew and Luke displayed literary dependence on the Gospel of Mark, with common passages being described as part of an unretained Q document. Because of the common themes and passages, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are often described as the synoptic Gospels, while the Gospel of John appears somewhat independent of the others. The uplifting spiritual nature of John's Gospel led some early church writers to describe John's Gospel as the eagle. It is John's Gospel that gives us a picture of Jesus offering one-on-one pastoral care, and the only obvious sermon series in Scripture, the I Am Discourses. The Synoptic Gospels provide more a record of Jesus' public ministry, travels, and conflict with Jewish leaders. Matthew and Luke appear to follow the encomium form more closely than Mark or John, because they begin with birthing stories. In providing a kingly genealogy up front, Matthew actually starts before Jesus' birth, describing Jesus as a son of David and a son of Abraham. Luke dials back his genealogy after his birthing narrative, but works backward from Jesus all the way to Adam. Mark and John skip the birthing narratives and begin their Gospels with Jesus' baptism and ministry, offering no genealogies at all. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.